Well, there is an adage, if at first you succeed, why not do it again? Which is exactly what is happening on October 15th here in Albany, where you can join Morning Edition host David Green and NPR reporter Yuki Noguchi for a conversation about personal finance. It's part of the Family Matters series. Together with Michelle Singletary, a nationally syndicated personal finance columnist for The Washington Post, and financial planner Louis Barajas, they'll tackle a number of topics like paying for college and buying a home and saving for retirement. All of this happens on October 15th at the University at Albany Recital Hall, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Michelle Singletary to the program this morning to give us a bit of a preview. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Very nice to have you on the program. Now, the last time we did this, you were a part of it, and I assume you're a part of many of these events. What do you get out of them?
You know, it's so wonderful to hear what is concerning folks out there. Lots of times we get these surveys about what people feel about their personal finances, but to have people right there in the audience talking about their story, it helps inform me as I write my column for the Post and then just go into communities. I do a lot of volunteer work. So when you get to hear from the very folks who these issues impact, it's such a great thing for both me and for NPR.
Now, if we have this conversation is going to take place on October 15th. If we had it a week and a half ago when the market was tanking, I assume it would have been a very different conversation.
It probably would be. And I encourage everybody to come out. I mean, you know, lots of times at these forums, you get people who are really good with their finances, and they are good at their finances because they come to things like this. But we want a cross-section of folks to come to have an open conversation about your finances, exactly on matters like what happens when the stock market goes crazy. And people tend to only pay attention when things are at the extreme, either low or high. But those are the times when you really kind of don't want to act. So you want to come when things aren't crazy, like what happened to the stock market, so that you can make changes when you're calmer and talk it out. You know, Louis, you know, is great. He's a financial planner. He, you know, can address some of the issues of how maybe you should look at your portfolio when you're not giving out, you know, personal advice, like what to put your money in, but just sort of to help calm you down or reassure things that you're already doing so that you can make the right decisions at the right time that will help you achieve financial freedom.
I speak only for my own background, but in school, and I think I got a fine education, I learned little or nothing about personal finance. You are a personal finance columnist. Do you think most of us are educated properly?
No, absolutely not. You know, there's a lot of movement to try to get more financial literacy in schools, and I applaud that. Think it's definitely something to do. But we got to really educate the folks that influence you. Who was your biggest influences when you were growing up? Probably your parents, right?
Right.
And so we want to get to those folks so that you get a good education. Because listen, personal finance is rocket science. It is. It's very complicated. There's Roth IRAs and 401ks and 403bs and annuities and life insurance and whole life insurance. And, you know, how much do I pay for my financial planner? How much do I need for retirement? How much life insurance do I do? What about student loan debt? Should my kid take it on? If they take it on, how do they pay it off? I mean, you can see there's a lot to deal with. And most of us are not equipped for all the issues. I mean, back in the day, you worked, you got a pension, hopefully, Social Security, and that was pretty much it. You got a 30-year mortgage, and you didn't have to interact so much with all this financial jargon and things that can make you go crazy. So that's why these type of forums are so important, so that you can go and learn more. This is a lifelong learning experience. Even if you got it in school, you still need to go to things so that you can stay up to date on what's happening with the money that you earn.
You use the term back in the day, which I find great and amusing, because I just think of my parents who grew up during the Depression. So consequently, I grew up watching my mother put a lot of money in books. and just stashing it in books. And okay, well, this is the money for this. This is the money I'm saving for your college. This is the money I'm saving for your violin lessons. And it would go. And you know, when she passed away, we had to be very careful because we. We were finding lots of cash, hidden in all kinds of places, and obviously we don't do that anymore. But it's interesting because this stuff does trickle down.
It really does, and you know, a lot of that stuffy money in the books came from fear because they know what it was like when the banks failed and the market failed, and they, you know, there was a run on banks and they lost people, lost money. We're not in that situation anymore. FDIC is great. You know, we've got a good system to protect your money when it's in an insured financial institution. But you know, it's true that things have changed. And they've not changed. The things that will make you financially secure are the same as it was back in the day and now. You know, live below your means, save as much as you can, plan for your retirement, look ahead. You know, I've just did a column for the Post about if you're not saving in your 20s, you're doing something wrong. Because the thing that young folks have that we older folks don't have an abundance of is time. And that's really, for young adults, that's the secret to financial success, is to save as soon as you can. Then you don't have to save as much. So you're absolutely right. But, you know, I want people not to be fearful, but also the thing that fights against you the most is inflation. And that means that you've got to do something with your money that keeps pace or hopefully beats inflation.
Kids in their 20s certainly do have time, but they also have more. Now I'm in my mid to late 40s, so they have not only more time, but they also have a lot more debt.
That's right. That's right. The outstanding amount of student loan debt is now over $1 trillion with a T dollars. Many students are coming out with on an average of $30,000, but many have much more than that, 50, 60, 70, even 100,000. And these aren't not all people who are going to be doctors and lawyers. And so they do have a lot more financial pressure on them. But even in that financial pressure, they've got to find a way to eke out some money to save. And so that may mean they're going to have to do something different as young adults. They can't, you know, go out and spend with their friends, and they may have to go back home and live for a little while so they can pay off that debt, so they can be out of debt sooner. So they might have a different 20, you know, the life in their 20s than maybe even you did or I did. And you know, it's unfortunate. And that's why I like, you know, the bookend, I like to talk to 20-year-olds and then talk to people who have children who haven't gone to college yet and encourage them to save so they don't have to burden their children with debt as they try to get a college education.
When you talk to people who are older and look at the markets and say, okay, even if I wanted to retire now, with things being so unstable, is it a good time? And I assume you get that question all the time.
I get it all the time. And it's often from folks who haven't saved, and they look up and they're in their late 40s, early 50s, 55, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't retire. And so that may actually be the case, that you may have to work until you're 70. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, there are different things that you can do. I like to encourage people to not be so, you know, pessimistic about it. Yes, it may mean that you're going to have to do something a little differently. Yes, it may mean that your retirement isn't that dream retirement of, you know, quitting work and traveling across the world. But you can still retire comfortably with some changes and some things. And as soon as you realize that you don't have enough for retirement, that's the time to act, and act aggressively. I often ask people, do you know your number? I'll ask you, do you know your retirement number?
And that retirement number being the age of which I'm going to retire?
No, that's the not, how much is it going to take to retire in the way that you want to retire? And have you done the calculation to see what that number is? Because we've all been told to pile money into our 401k or our workplace retirement plan, our TSP. But somehow in that message, what was lost is, do you know if you got enough or maybe you're over-saving?
Is it a bad answer to say that I don't personally know, but I know my wife knows?
I hear that all the time. It's so funny.
I know she knows.
Least, yeah, it's good that one of you knows.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, too.
Okay, that seems fair.
Because, you know, if something happens to the spouse that, you know, unfortunately, you know, hopefully it doesn't, you don't want just the one person to know everything. But at least it's good that one of you knows.
And I assume the financial planner that we work with knows.
Right. But, you know, I get it, because in any relationship, usually there's somebody who's the treasurer, and that's fine. But have regular meetings where you say, okay, this is where the money is in the retirement, and this is our goal, and, you know, I mean, it, you know, it's always good to be a little bit in the know.
Meet with the treasurer occasionally on these particular matters.
Right.
Let's talk about financial planners, because I realize for us, they've been a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And they help, and they certainly put you in, you have somebody to talk to, you have somebody to educate you on the very right topics that we're talking about. What are the downsides? What do we need to be careful of?
That's such a great question, because right now there's this huge debate about financial planners who have fiduciary responsibilities. And, you know, a financial planner who is a fiduciary means that he or she is going to recommend things that are in your best interest. Now, there's another category of folks who are helping you with retirement planning who don't have that responsibility, and they only have to recommend things that are quote unquote suitable, but it could be more in their best interest. And so as you search for a financial planner, you want to ask, do you have a financial fiduciary responsibility to recommend things in my best interest? And, you know, interview a number of folks, check their record to see if they've had any complaints. And anything that they recommend, you go behind them and check up on it. I mean, I definitely believe in financial planners because they can help you guide the way. But don't just listen to everything they say and not do some of your own investigation so that you know that they're recommending things that are in your best interest.
I just have our final question, but just out of curiosity, when you do this and you go out with David and Lewis and Yuki or whoever, and you do these forums throughout the country, is there a geographical sense? Are sometimes things different in Albany than they are in Cleveland or Ohio? Well, Cleveland is in Ohio, but or San Diego.
I do. You know, the biggest difference is cost of living. So in areas where the cost of living is higher, particularly for housing, there's more concern of whether or not I can afford to buy a home. But other than really that line, people are the same across the country. Their concerns are the same. You know, I don't want my kid, you know, straddled with debt, or I have so much debt, I don't know what to do. You know, how do I save for retirement? How do I save for my kid's college fund and also possibly have to take care of my parents? There's a lot of concern about having enough money in retirement, because we know the stats show that we're living longer. So people are concerned about outliving their retirement money. So in that sense, personal finance unites us all in this country, because our concerns are the same. And that's why I think it's so important and so wonderful that NPR is having these events, so that we can all have this conversation, but also look around the room and see whether you're Black or white or old or young, we all share the same concerns. They all unite us. And the more we learn about this stuff, the more it's going to help all of us. Because if one group is not doing well, that's going to affect you, either in higher taxes or more safety net programs and having to pay for that. So we all need to be concerned about not just our personal finances, but everybody else's, because we're in this together.
Michelle Singletary is a nationally syndicated personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. She will be a part of the NPR Family Matters in Albany, New York event, which will be happening on October 15th. She'll be joined by David Green, Yuki Noguchi, and Luis Barajas, who will all be tackling the issue of personal finance. This takes place October 15th from 7 to 8 at the University at Albany Recital Hall. You can find out more information by going to WAMC.org. WAMC.org for more information. Michelle, thank you so much for talking to us about this, for coming to town, and we look forward to seeing you then.
Oh, well, and can I just add this one thing? It's
sure.
going to be a fun night, because people think about personal finance and think, oh, their eyes roll over. But listen, we are a fun group. We have fun. We laugh. I mean, it's not going to be like your grandfather's personal finance forum. We really do have a great time, and I'm a crazy person. So trust me on this. It will not be a boring evening.
That's what I look for in my personal finance columnist, of being a little crazy. Michelle, and the group are, it was a great time last time, and we look forward to it this time again. It's October 15th from 7 to 8 at the University at Albany Recital Hall. WAMC.org for more information. Michelle, we'll see you then. Thank you so much.
Oh, great. I'm looking forward to it.
Take care. Again, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.